Congratulations.
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
I was too shrill last week.
I know. You texted me. You're
and
like, oh
I
my
God.
And I
need to butter it up.
Get in the butter zone.
Butter zone. Maysoon, they had the release last night of the San Francisco Review of Whatever. You did weigh in on the title, which you did not approve of.
I just don't love it. I still don't love it. I'm sure it's going to be a great little publication.
You're going to learn to love it. Okay. And it was in an absolutely, it was here at beautiful et al. Gallery here in San Francisco in the Mission. It was really packed to capacity. But I was talking to my
You were talking to your friend.
And we were just looking at each other and we were like, who are these people?
Oh, really? I love that.
So maybe
were they all like young babies? Or young people, excuse me?
It didn't seem like college kids or anything. Like, it seemed like folks were mainly like my age, like 30s-ish. Mm-hmm. So.
Who were they? Were they like from the tech and creative tech
they
world?
They didn't look like tech people. There were some queers and stuff, some like queer weirdos. But it looked like also a lot of like more artsy design kind of vibe.
It's a slightly different world,
but
maybe?
The magazine is all art and weirdo stuff.
Maybe it was more like the literary world, but Mark knows that world. I mean, your friend knows that world.
I'll just bleep it. I'll bleep. So I don't know where these people came from. I don't know who they were.
You didn't know a single other person?
Oh, no. I knew a bunch of other people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of people that you didn't recognize.
But for the bulk of the people, I did not know. Had never seen.
That's exciting.
Maybe there's like some weird undergrowth of art people.
Undergrowth.
That we're
that.
Not tapped into.
It's like the moss people.
I guess. And maybe they're going to bloom out.
Yeah.
Are they blooming?
Maybe.
We need to get a little more, dig a little more.
We need to dig
see
a little more
what,
into the moss
where
people.
Where are the fountains of art people? The hidden veins.
You didn't talk to anyone? You weren't like, hi, who are you?
Oh,
where
no,
you come
I didn't
from?
Talk to a soul. No, I'm just kidding. I talked to a lot of people. Actually, Maysoon, I have to tell you something really important.
Okay, please do.
I was having a horrifically bad day yesterday. Okay.
I thought that was, you had a good day yesterday.
Well, wait, okay. There's more. I started my day in an absolute death spiral.
Oh,
and
God.
And sure enough, I got in to et al. And I had to enter over 400 pieces of data into a spreadsheet. And that actually really helped get my mind off my upsetness.
Sometimes that shit's good.
Yeah. And then friend of the show, Abel Martinez, came to the gallery. Okay. And he brings in books to the bookstore here.
Because they need more books here.
They are just out. They're practically
they're really
out of books.
Like skeletons in here with books. I can't even believe it. How can a bookstore function with so few books?
We're being facetious.
Yeah.
So he comes in. He's got a bag of books. And, you know, he's like can do it so fast, like shelving the books.
Oh, really?
He fucking has the alphabet on lockdown. And I'm over here like A, B, C, D.
When is K? When is K again?
And God bless America. Okay, we mustn't move at all.
I think it's because whenever we pull on it.
Yeah. So he is putting books away. Sure enough, I walk over, I pull one book out. I'm like walking
You're
over
like,
to the
A,
shelf.
A, B, C, and then you find your shelf.
And I take this book out, and it's a novel by Witold Gombrowicz.
Never heard of
okay,
him.
Okay. I think a Polish.
Okay.
A Polish writer from Poland. It's translated into
and
English.
Poland is what now? Is that
a country?
I'm kidding.
I thought maybe you thought it was like an art collective.
Is Poland like a city somewhere in like Texas or no?
Probably.
It could be actually.
I got Paris over there. Okay. Look here. I'm like, and I go to shelve this book and I see there's like five other copies.
Oh, no.
Of it, okay.
No, you can't
and
have
I'm
five
like,
copies of some super obscure book that probably no one's
well,
going to buy.
Listen up. Oh. I'm like, Abel, what the fuck is this book? And why do we have so many? Like, I went to go put it behind the books that were on the shelf,
yeah.
Like for later surplus.
Yeah.
And I find another copy of it. already back there. We've got thousands of copies of this novel by Vigil Gombrowicz.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, that's Ferdy Durkee.
And what is that?
I mean, apparently, it's a really good satire. He's like, this is actually a great book. It's like a satire. It's.
But why do they need five copies of
but
it?
But the point is, he's like, come on, Ferdy Durkee. You're not fucking with Ferdy Durkee.
You just, that's the name of the book.
Do you think this is xenophobic, but do you think this is wrong against the Polish language and the Polish people?
No.
It's just a silly word that was fun to say, okay? Translated by somebody, another.
What does it mean?
The word? I don't know. Ferdy Durkee. Is it a person? Is it? I haven't even looked at the Wikipedia page yet. And I didn't think to ask Gabel.
So there are five copies of this one book, Ferdy Durkee.
There's 1,000 copies of Ferdy Durkee everywhere. Okay, they're just coming out of the wall.
Is the story, like, I'm just like, does it relate to our times today and people are going to come flocking because they're trying to, is that what the deal is?
No, it's just, the story. He loves it. For some reason, Abel loves this book. I think, one, it's called Ferdy Durkee. Two, it's a really good book. Three, he's read, apparently, all the other books by this author.
You better read that book.
I know, I'm going to. Except, okay, then there's more May soon. Then we're shelving books in the philosophy section, and Abel's like, we don't need any more fucking philosophy books. Nobody's buying philosophy, you know? And I'm like, you know, people come in and buy Nietzsche, and he's like, who? And I'm like, Nietzsche, the philosopher. And he's like, no, who's buying fucking books? And I'm like, we have a huge clientele of sad college boys who come and buy Nietzsche and Camus and shit. Aww. And he's like, oh, fucking incels don't fuck.
This sounds like way more personality like, than I got that day like, with Abel.
Fucking incels don't.
Oh my God. Fucking incels don't
it's
read?
It's like fucking incels don't fuck with no Ferdy Durkee. Fucking incels don't fuck with no Ferdy Durkee. So anyhow, for the rest of the day, I was just like...
Were you like dying laughing after that?
Every time I would get sad, I would rethink about Ferdy Durkee and I'd just start laughing uncontrollably. So that really turned shit
thank
around.
God. This book is your guiding light,
yeah.
Apparently.
Gotta read it. Gotta know it. Anything about it. But point is...
Oh, no. That's hysterical.
Anyhow, so then they had the event for the magazine. And I had a copy of Ferdy Durkee, and I was walking around showing it to everybody. And nobody else thought it was funny but me. But that was fine. I was laughing. And anyhow... I was in conversation for the thing. It was great. There were...
Oh, shit.
Were you supposed to come?
God damn it.
Also,
sorry.
We fucked again. Oh, no we're good.
I forgot that you were going to be in conversation.
Well, you blew it because I was really killing it. I was in conversation with Kelly Pendergrast, who's a writer, an art writer. And it was very funny because she's like an actual writer and like knows things. And I drew a cartoon of somebody humping a Donald Judd sculpture.
Amazing.
So that was cute. So pick up a copy. I'll put a link in the underworld.
It's called The Journal of Nothingness.
The SF Review of Whatever.
Oh my God.
The Journal of Nothingness is where
is that
Camus is.
Oh, yeah.
And all the
incels. The SF Review of... How come I can't even hold on to that word for a second?
The SF Review of Whatever.
Of Whatever.
Okay, I got to get back
I
want
to go
zone.
To Nothingness for some reason.
I got to go to
SF
the butter.
SF Review
the
butter of zone. Whatever. Correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
San Francisco, yeah. And Caitlin Galloway also was in conversation with Elizabeth Nikula, who was the editor-in-chief. But Caitlin Galloway, who's a sign painter and a regular painter, did all their like...
Design?
Yeah. Well, all the like title letterhead. Okay. Masthead?
Masthead is where it's like all the people that are involved.
Oh, just kidding.
She designed like the layout, the way it looks.
Like the logo and the cover lettering and
design. Then she would be a designer in that regard.
Right? Mm-hmm. But she didn't like lay it out.
That's okay. She just did the cover design.
Okay. I don't know what I'm talking about. So that's what happened.
Ferdy Durkee. This is Kate's word, people. Learn it and use it.
We got to figure out what that shit means. We don't need to do it now, though. Let's let it be what it is.
It is what it is for now. Kate's going to read the story and tell us all about it.
Okay, we're so good.
Oh, my God. We got a cool text in this week where a friend of the show texted us back and said, because of listening to Kate and I ramble on in our last episode, they divested all of their stocks in tech companies.
What the fuck?
I sent you this text, fool.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Remember?
I remember, and I remember who it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, I am shocked that person listens to the show.
It doesn't surprise me, but I'm amazed that he did that. So let's get more people signed on to divest from divest in those tech companies.
Divest?
I mean, divest in all tech. I mean, in all stocks, to be quite honest, but.
Not Mettler Toledo.
Except for Mettler Toledo.
Just kidding, though. I actually looked into it, and they don't have, like, their own things in Israel, but they do sell their things they make in Israel and through other companies, you know.
Oh,
so I don't know if it would really like qualify necessarily for like a boycott, but like, do you want to like make money off that, you know?
I guess probably not. I would want to see how like what the percentage of their products are going.
Yeah, how many percent would be acceptable?
Like 2%. Feels pretty nominal. Under 10% for sure. 10% is significant.
Okay. I just feel like, because you can go on their website and look at where to get their stuff, and it will, like, they have listings in Israel. So it's like,
oh,
it feels bad.
Mm. Well,
that maybe was stay away from
they
fucking
were,
Mettler.
They were our last.
What can you invest in?
That's not what the show's about. Someone else figure that out.
Okay, what else we got?
I love how you're like, let's record 2 episodes. We could barely get through one, motherfucker. Like, I was like, back to back? No fucking way.
We're doing it next week. We're going to absolutely kill
let's
it.
Let's get an interviewee in for next week.
It's just going to be hard if it like,
we're
if they're
like,
late.
Come to Edel at 9 in the morning. No one's on a
9:30.
Saturday. No one's going to, everyone's going to be
they
like,
they will for
fuck
their
you.
Star turn on America's number one podcast.
Now we're America's number one.
Of the whole Americas.
We're getting
south
bigger.
And north.
I know. Speaking of that, Jimbo and I we keep fantasizing about Mexico taking California back.
Please.
Please.
Please. Please. Please.
There could be like a transition period where like people who don't want to be part of Mexico can figure out which state they'd like to be part of.
Take the whole West Coast.
I mean, right. Take all of America back. Fine.
Then you could
the
have
US
a
back.
Fun little border with Canada.
Right. I don't know if we want Oregon.
Maybe we could just blend in also to Canada. Canada, Mexico, and the West Coast here.
I'd rather be part of Mexico, to be quite honest, but...
Okay, sure enough. But, like, what if it all became some new thing?
Sure. Can California be its own country?
I mean, they've talked about that quite a bit in the first Trump.
How hard is it for a state to leave a nation or a whatever? What do we call that?
I mean, it seems pretty tough.
What would it take?
Armed uprising?
Oh, really? Okay. Shit.
I mean, go talk to like Quebec or like that one part of Spain or like the American Civil War.
Now I'm like, I always hate the tech companies. I'm like, well, they can fly the drones, I guess.
Say what now? When California
secedes,
the tech bastards would be on the side of the feds.
No, we'd have to get them out. We'd have to get them
They're
out.
They're already working with the feds.
I know.
The fucking tech motherfuckers will shut us down before we even start. What's that part of Spain called? I'm going to edit this all out because I feel ignorant as hell.
Oh my God. The two of us are a mess. Kate had an exciting experience. No, we want to do that.
About what?
Your car.
Oh, I got fucked out of renting from Rent-A-Relic. I thought after 10 years I might have gotten forgiveness, but I sure didn't. I'm still banned.
Kate's banned from Rent-A-Relic for bringing her sweet dog Wally into their rental cars time and time again.
Yeah.
And creating a fuzzy
disaster
for them.
Yeah.
And after being scolded many times about it,
I finally got banned.
But
this was 10 years ago. And I'm like, my dog died. Can you guys cut me a fucking break?
Aww. Did you say that?
No, God, no. I didn't even think to say anything. I was so shocked.
Maybe you should send them a sincere email and see how that goes.
They didn't seem like there was a path to redemption.
I can't believe that. That's so surprising to me.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you fucked up the car. It's not like you crashed in the car and killed someone.
Well,
you know what I mean?
No, they said one other thing, that there was a cracked windshield. But, like, I don't remember that ever being part of it, A. And B, like, I always got insurance. So, you know. And then 3...
A, B, and 3.
I just can't imagine how that would be my fault.
They really have something out for you, these people.
Come well, on, they really relic. Didn't like me, and they were talking about some band called like Gonzo Gorilla or some shit for hours before I was even seen at the front
and
desk.
This is another customer with the other owner
talking to some other customer who was in a band. So, and this guy was fucking slobbering over these people because they were in a damn band. Okay, whatever, moving on. Maysoon, you got a listener question in.
Oh yeah, we had someone email in saying they live with a couple roommates who are, they're all artists. They're very creative. They're
nuts
of fun.
To butts.
They do like little installations in their house and they're like, oh my God, wouldn't it be so fun if we like got together and did like a little art space. And so they're just trying to figure out how to go about doing that. You know, how do you find the space? How much is it going to cost? Those kinds of things.
Now, historically.
Does it have to be like a nonprofit? Can it just be like a hole in the wall, figure it out kind of vibe? How organized and professional does it need to be? Those kinds of things. They're like, what are we gonna do?
Well, we got to take it one point at a time.
Okay.
Okay. First off, traditionally, our stance, I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, because maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, but there was a time when we started the podcast 10 years ago where we were like, can you guys stop making new art spaces? Because like, I feel like they're only open for 1 second and it's like under your bed and it's like...
oh, the under the bed gallery.
Under bed gallery. And we were like... can you kind of like just go and like help another space that already exists? Mm-hmm. But we're in such a different situation.
It's a really different
now
time
it feels like
where and I kind of want to be like, yes, please,
please, everyone listening, go start a new space. Yeah.
I guess maybe with a place like that, I could just say like maybe they should just sort of do what they're doing and open it to the public.
Yeah,
like if you're already doing weird installations in your apartment, maybe there's like a way you can set things aside and have that be the space for the time being and see how it goes before committing to a lease and a space and
start small.
All of those things. I mean, we have friends who have had apartment galleries and they've been amazing. There's a lot you can do with that.
I do think it's a big commitment to relinquish part of your living space to be an exhibition space.
Yeah.
You got to control your cats.
Forget it. Over. Done. Never happening. I don't control my cats. They control me. Let's be real.
So you got to manage that. You got to manage other people. If the roommates, if any of them is at all clumsy or an alcoholic.
There's also something about like your personal living space and letting potentially strangers in freaks me out a little bit. I'm not
totally
super excited about that.
Sure. Yeah. So you got to really like take that all into account. What are other weird little cubby holes you could find?
Oh, yeah. How about, like, do we have train stations? Yeah,
train station locker?
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was first thinking of, too.
Wow, that was like a direct, whoa. I was literally going to say train station locker, but then I was like, where are the train station lockers?
Then I was like, same, and I was like, a post office box.
How about a newspaper stand? Just put the dollar in, take everything out,
that.
And then do it.
Wait, say what?
You know,
the ones that you open up.
Yeah.
But like put a coin or whatever in.
I guess.
Yeah.
But
interesting,
then I guess,
very interesting stuff
just
there.
Just take everything out
Did
of there.
Do those exist anymore?
I feel like there's some downtown.
Are we living in like 1989?
I know. I'm like, no, we're not. We're not. We're living in like 20.
No, I mean, are we mentally still
our brains?
There? Because we're like, oh yeah, just go to a bus
a
station,
train station locker.
Train station.
Have you seen a train station locker? I mean, I guess if you go to like, I don't even know where the train stations are.
I've seen them in movies. I think they have one in Get Shorty or something.
Do we? I mean, where is our long distance train even? Where is that station? There's Jack London Square?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is that?
In
I've
Oakland.
Never been there. What does that
it's really
station
good.
Look like?
It does not have lockers.
It doesn't have
it
lockers.
It does not have anything. Like, you have to get, like, you have to give
so
your
weird.
Fucking social security number to get into the
to
bathroom.
Get into, oh, my like, God. Fucking
it's
hell.
Pretty fortified.
Okay, so there's not a lot of spaces in the Bay Area where... well, there must be more cubby holes. Let's think about that. Some museums have those little lockers, too.
Oh, that's... Yes, they have those at the Oakland Museum.
Okay, Oakland Museum has them.
But you need a key.
Right, so you have to...
Oh, no, you need a number code.
And do they empty them out at the end of the night?
I'm not sure. Probably. Because probably not every single night.
I guess you could do, you could plan for like a day long installation.
Sure, yes.
At locker number 15 at the Oakland Museum. And here's the code.
This is pretty good. This is like when they had that peephole.
Yeah. And then you just go and you deinstall it at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And actually, we should do all the lockers at once.
Really good. I mean, people need the lockers for their umbrellas.
Well, but you know, artists need the lockers more. Space is hard to come by.
Okay, these are great ideas. People, please do these ideas because we don't want to deal with that. But someone young out there, I mean, yeah, not that only young people, but
someone who doesn't give a fuck, who's go get it done.
Got no other responsibilities. Yeah.
I will go. I would gladly attend that exhibition or whatever that is.
Love it. Okay, wait, that's, we got to just cute. Give about 25 more ideas.
Okay, what other cubbies do we have?
Can you partner with another art gallery and just have a one-day show in their installation time? Is that,
yeah, you could do
but
that.
But is that kind of, I feel like people have done that before.
You can do that. It's really a lot of work. It's kind of shitty for the artist. Maybe just to have exposure for like one day, but it depends.
That's true.
I mean, if it's a performance, maybe that makes more sense, you know?
Ooh, the traveling performance thing.
Where you pop in and out of different gallery spaces?
Call it the traveling circus.
Back in the day, before...
telephone poles.
Well, no, I was thinking of parking meters.
Say what?
Like before, where there are the parklets that are on the street now, there was this thing called Parking Day that this arts organization started, where you could literally, it was kind of about taking over the commons, and you could pay the parking meter. They did this Parking Day once a year where you'd pay a parking meter and then you would just install like a lawn and lawn chairs and just sort of hang out in the parking space.
Yeah.
You could do that sort of idea with and set up an art gallery space or a truck with a peephole or a truck with a performance inside it. Or
okay, these are great ideas.
So there's that. You'd probably just have to pay the meter all day.
Yes.
So we could find a place where the meter is the cheapest.
Really good.
How about those like stupid Amazon lockers at like Whole Foods and shit? Could we find a way to like take over that? Kate, am I freaking you out?
No, I'm just like, I'm really racking my brain as to how to make that happen because I've never used one of those. So like, yeah. Do they put, there's a, you're going there to get your package.
Yeah.
So you would need to keep the door open.
Yeah.
You would need to first order a package from Amazon.
Yeah,
which we don't want to do that.
I know. Okay, let's cross.
Okay, fuck Amazon. Stupid lockers. Oh, but would they lose money somehow if you're just like...
Well, they wouldn't
be... But
does
a human being puts the things in there so they could come and stop you? I'm just imagining you like, you have the door stuck open.
Yeah.
And you put a small exhibition inside. But if you're doing that, like, couldn't you just hold a box or like put it on a bench? So do you have to be there the whole time to keep the door open so you don't lose all the stuff inside?
Yeah. But isn't the same, it's just, I guess it would thought it would be the same with all the lockers.
Okay, except Mason, we're getting too stuck on lockers. Okay.
I know, I said a parking space.
No, that's very good. I'm but we did trying then go to reach back. Outside. We did go back to lockers. Okay, Mason.
Okay, there's
wait,
parks.
Let's think,
there's
think
parks.
Of everywhere we know. Okay, parks.
Okay.
Bathrooms.
Other people's galleries, one.
Okay, yeah. Okay, where else? Okay, we got part. We have public spaces. We have private spaces. What are the other private spaces?
What
but
private
where you
spaces?
Can get a little something done without flying into the radar.
Flying into the radar?
Staying under the radar.
Well, how about like hotel lobbies?
Stay under the radar. Hotel lobbies, yes. Changing rooms. Sus. But bathrooms, like, you know, like, I don't, the more I think about this, the more I'm like.
Bathrooms are kind of gross, though. I don't know.
Well, I'm just like.
You want to be in there when someone's saying.
Oh, don't say. I'm bleeping that. Bloomingdale's or like Macy's Nordstrom. Used to have like a lounge area before you get to the bathroom. Yeah. Like, that's a space.
And people would go there just to fucking chill after shopping all day.
Yeah. The more I think about this, the more I'm like remembering where we live and what the situation is here.
Parks, parkland, the beach.
Oh, the beach.
Do they still do like the sandcastle competition?
You know it.
I've never been. I want to go this
Let's
year.
Let's go to that.
Golden Gate Park, I feel like you get away with a lot of shit there because it's like, who's monitoring the park? Who's patrolling the park? I mean, really.
I feel like Golden Gate Park should let you do whatever art thing you want because they have that terrible Burning Man art there right now.
Do they?
Well, I don't know that it's actually from Burning Man, but I just assume that.
You associate it with Burning Man? Is it like a metal sculpture?
There's metal things and there's like a big word that says dance, but then that one's not that bad. I think it says dance and it like has like little testimonials inside the letter, like short sentence things inside the letters where people are talking about their relationship to dance. Maybe you would love that one actually.
No, I'm sure I wouldn't. How about like an automobile, like multiple cars in a row exhibition? Oh, how about a drive-in?
Driving around? Oh, yeah.
How would that work?
How do you do a drive-in? We don't want to support car culture. Maysoon, all this has just made me think of the alternative exposure granting program.
Has anyone ever done like a film screening at a car drive-in? Like an art screening?
Not
that I know of. I'm sure someone has.
The thing they did at Fort Mason, but they weren't really showing like art videos.
Just showing mainstream movies.
Yeah.
And they're not really a drive-in. They just set it up for that time. That'd be kind of fun. Take over a drive-in.
That's cute.
For, like,
I love
night,
that.
Just do like a series of shorts or something.
I love that.
There's so many possibilities out there, everyone. Feel free to take all of the ideas and run with them.
Okay. I'm just looking at Alternative Exposure's last round of grant recipients,
the
micro granting program. The micro granting program that Southern Exposure runs, which I think they'll be taking applications again in the summer.
Cool. I love that they're still doing it. It's been so many years.
Oh, yeah. I think they're on like round 19 or 20 probably. Or something.
I mean, it started when I was there.
But I'm looking at round 18 right now. That's their 2024 grant recipients. And, you know, some of these places are venues like Black and White Projects.
Oh, yeah.
Although, do they have a space still?
Yeah, they're out of Pacific Felt Factory, I think. They were there. I think they're still there.
This is making my face tickle. There's Collectiva Libre.
Okay. What are you doing? Are you just reading the projects?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Collectiva Libre, they meet in a place. They meet at the Tradición Peruana Cultural Center, the TPCC.
Oh, where is that?
In the Mission.
Oh, cute.
See, we got to go there.
I didn't know that was there. That's great.
Oh, hey, one of the things that they funded was the Free Palestine Poster Project.
Love them. Thank you.
Oh, Hub. Hub is a mobile exhibition series inside a closed container cargo trailer. Check that out. It's part of Moose Collective.
Oh, let's get...
Remember them?
Moose Collective?
Yeah. I think we talked to them at the fucking... When SOEX invited us to talk to people at the... Untitled Art Fair.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Muse, like M-U-Z.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Cute.
Okay, check that out.
I was going to say...
I'll put a link to them.
When you said the container ship trailer, it made me think of, what the hell, like RVs.
Uh-huh. Yes. You want to get an RV?
Well, that could also be an exhibition
space.
That's
another place with a bathroom. Oh, Winslow House. That's in Vallejo.
I got to leave in 5 minutes.
Same. So, we're so fucked. Damn. Okay. I'm finally looking at the Ferdy Durkee Wikipedia page.
Oh, no.
So Grombowitz himself wrote of this novel that it is not a satire on some social class nor a nihilistic attack on culture. We live in an era of violent changes, of accelerated development in which settled forms are breaking under life's pressure. The need to find a form for what is yet immature, uncrystallized, and underdeveloped, as well as the groan at the impossibility of such a postulate. This is the chief excitement of my book. I think that's pretty like of the now for book that was published in 1937.
Everyone's going to come buy this book, I bet you.
Guys,
this
you got to get in here and you got to get Ferdy Durkee. It's like
Ferdy Durkee, and then we'll get able to get more copies for you. So don't worry.
Yeah. And we'll always have it here.
We'll keep a wait list of people who want to read Ferdy Durkee.
I think so.
That's what my assumption was, that it was somehow related to what's happening right now in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Or tied. Or
I think it's a timeless work of genius.
Yeah.
I wish to God we knew what the fuck Ferdy Durkee means.
I
I love that it's like a sure laugh for you. It's really good.
No one's even giving a synopsis, like telling me the name of any character. It's a single thing about it.
No one's actually read it.
It's not saying, what the fuck does Ferdy Jerky mean? God help me. What does Ferdy Jerky mean?
All the way to Google search. All the ways to Google search.
No one's asking this. There's no answers. There's
How is
nothing.
No one asking that?
There's nothing going. I don't going. Believe it. I'm telling you, there's nothing going.
Okay, do we know any Polish speakers out there?
Here we go. I found it. The title itself, Ferdy Jerky, has no meaning in Polish.
I told you. I was right.
Okay, I don't know if this is the most legit, because this is literally somebody's blog. Okay.
What's their name? The Polish.
The word never appears in the novel.
Oh.
The title has no meaning in Polish, although there is some conjecture that the word was a contraction and alteration of the name Freddy Durkee, the chief character in Sinclair Lewis's Babbitt, which was widely read in Poland in the early 1930s.
Okay, but that's totally like some roundabout weird way. So still not actually a word.
Gombrowicz himself never explained the title.
I love it. I love it even more. There we go. We can use it.
This is the missing piece of the puzzle, guys. We need to have a fucking Ferdy Jerky.
If Kate could ever say it without cracking up.
The thing that gets me every time is just like insults. Insults don't fuck with no Ferdy Jerky. I'm crying.
We've lost on this one.
All right. Well, Maysoon, we're going to go ahead and say free Palestine. And as always, we'll be seeing you from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.
Ready to make the rounds. Can I open up a window? And the wind's the only sound. Can I pretend that money means nothing? Oh, let's pretend that money means nothing. Can we pretend that money means nothing?